Morena, good morning. As Jennifer said, my name is Tracy McComb and I'm Pastoral Care Coordinator at Nelson Baptist Church, and it's great to be here this morning bringing you this message on a passage that's commonly referred to as the Great Commission. On your marks, get set, go. It's a phrase you're familiar with, right? Everyone's heard that at some point. Maybe from school events, competitions, maybe watching the Commonwealth Games. I remember it from my childhood when, believe it or not, I dabbled in a bit of athletics. A quick bit of research told me that the phrase on your marks, get set, go, comes from the world of athletics. As competitive athletics grew, especially with the rise of the Olympics in 1896, clear commands were needed. The sequence evolved into on your marks. The athletes step up to the line or settle into the blocks. They get into position. Get set. Their hips rise and they go completely still. This pause is key because everything is focused in a posture ready to act. And then go. The gun fires and the race starts. Today, the phrase has moved well beyond athletics and has become a part of our everyday life. It mirrors how we naturally move from intention to readiness and action. And it's the phrase that came to mind when I was first pondering the scripture for today. Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the Great Commission. On your marks, get set, go. Jesus prepares, Jesus calls, Jesus anchors, and Jesus sends. Let's take a look. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end." So first of all, Jesus prepares. Well before an athlete steps up to the blocks, they go through a rigorous period of training. And so it was for the disciples, which is why I'm starting with just one word. Then. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. The first word of this passage begs an explanation before we go any further. Because the word then implies something has happened before, and we need to look at this before we launch into the rest of the passage on the Great Commission. Then means something has happened, and now everything that follows flows from it. For the 11 disciples, lots had happened before the then in this passage. Those guys had been on a 3-year roller coaster ride, and then suddenly the ride seemed to stop abruptly with Jesus' crucifixion, until the word came that Jesus was alive, and they got back on that ride, hesitantly. And so it's after this 3-year roller coaster of preparation of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus that the disciples find themselves on their way to Galilee. Our lives can be a bit like that, can't they? Full of ups and downs, a bit like a roller coaster ride too. But in hindsight, those ups and downs are periods of growth and preparation for the next thing. Think about all the ways Jesus has prepared you over the years for the things that were to come. So having established what preceded the then, it's time for on your marks. Jesus calls. There's a bit of milling around at the start of a race, isn't there? Zoe Hobbs could probably tell us a bit about that. You're doing a few stretches, you're checking out the opposition, there's a bit of adrenaline, excitement, I imagine, and then maybe a bit of doubt. Have I trained well enough? Perhaps a few questions run through your head about your ability. But when you hear that call, on your marks, the sequence has begun, and it's time to follow the instructions and move into position. Despite your doubts, you still step up with a sense of anticipation. And I imagine there was a bit of the same going on for the disciples as they embarked on their on your marks phase. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. The 11 disciples are stepping up to the blocks here. They've been called by Jesus to Galilee. They're being gathered to the start line. But their on your marks call to the blocks is a bit longer than a few metres. It's about 120 kilometres, in fact, from Jerusalem to Galilee, several days' travel on foot. Earlier in Matthew's Gospel, both angels and Jesus gave these clear instructions. In Matthew 28:7, the angel says, "He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." And in Matthew 28:10, Jesus says to the woman at his empty tomb, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So they journey from Jerusalem to Galilee, from a place of fear, confusion, and uncertainty, to a more familiar, safe place. There would have been a bit of adrenaline and some excitement, I imagine, for a number of reasons. They were going to see Jesus again. For most of them, they were heading home, back to where their journey with Jesus began. And in their experience, mountains were places of revelation and divine encounter, where miracles took place, the Sermon on the Mount and the Transfiguration. So there is anticipation of something significant about to happen. Still, there would have been a few questions on that journey, I imagine. But still, they go with a sense of anticipation, obedient to Jesus' calling despite these feelings. And then they see him. Verse 17 says, "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Another translation says, "They doubted." And yet another says, "Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally." So more than just Thomas doubted them. And who can blame them after that roller coaster ride? You can just imagine the mixed emotions as they stood there, face to face with Jesus. But that's exactly when Jesus commissions them, in that place of doubt. This is good news for us, isn't it? We don't have to be absolutely certain to obey Jesus. We don't have to understand clearly in order to take the next step that Jesus is calling us to. The disciples were sent while they were still works in progress. Isn't that comforting? I think so. And now they're at the place Jesus called them to. Their feet are in the blocks, and it's time to get set. Jesus anchors. When runners here get set, their hips rise and they go completely still. In a sense, they anchor themselves in position, taking on a posture that readies them for action. They are poised for action. And we see Jesus doing something similar. He anchors the disciples in his presence and authority before he sends them out. Verse 18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" I find it interesting here that Jesus came to them. Other translations say Jesus came close to them. The disciples were obedient to his call, but when they arrive, Jesus comes to them. He physically brings his presence to them. Undeterred by their doubt, and despite all that had gone before, Jesus comes to them and anchors them with all the authority in heaven and on earth that has been given to him. As theologians like Christopher Wright remind us, mission begins with God, not us. Before Jesus sends his disciples, he comes to them. And he comes to us too, doesn't he? When we doubt, when we feel inadequate, it's good to remember that it's not actually about us, our strength, or our ability. It's about Jesus and his presence and his authority. So now the disciples are poised to be sent, anchored in his presence and all authority on heaven and earth. Therefore, go, Jesus sends. Therefore, go. They're out of the blocks. The gun has gone off and they are away. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. So that's what the disciples are called to do. What we are called to do. Make disciples. To intentionally help people follow Jesus and become more like him through the Holy Spirit. By baptizing them, immersing them in water and into authentic Christian community. And teaching them how to read scripture, how to pray, to serve others using their gifts, to share the gospel and participate in God's mission in their local context. It's kind of how my discipleship journey went. I was in a new job in a new town, and a Christian couple at work invited me to their home group. They introduced me to Jesus, they took me through Alpha, they baptized me, invited me into their family and church community. They taught me how to read scripture, they taught me how to pray, they modeled Christ-like behavior. They loved me as I was, but they watched Jesus transform me through his love. They made a disciple by baptizing me and teaching me. And Jesus calls us to do this. And what about those words, all nations? Go and make disciples of all nations. All nations didn't just mean places far away. It meant going to people and places that are different and unfamiliar. One translation says it like this: go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Go here is actually more like as you are going, make disciples. Other translations reflect this clearer when they say, now, wherever you go, make disciples of all nations. And so they did. Making disciples became a way of life for the early church. We see in the book of Acts that they did preach the word wherever they went. They made disciples wherever they went, through their relationships, in their homes, in the marketplace. The making of disciples happened in everyday life, as well as on journeys to nations further afield. And they did this anchored in the authority of Jesus. And with his presence, not in person anymore, but by his Spirit. Matthew 28 ends with this: and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Other translations say, remember, I am with you always. Be sure of this. Never forget. And behold, I am with you always. And finally, this one. Jesus says, I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day. And that's our go. It's the same for us 2,000 years later. Collectively, as followers of Jesus, it's every day to everyone, to the nations and to our neighbourhoods. But individually, as followers of Jesus and makers of disciples, it's one by one. A few years ago, I was introduced to the phrase person of peace. You may have heard it. It's someone who is welcoming, curious, and open to what God is doing. As an example, a few months ago, I was delivering booklets in my neighbourhood for the Hope Project just before Easter. It's a little booklet with stories of hope and the message of the cross. On two occasions, residents were right by their letterboxes, and I felt compelled to explain a bit, rather than just pop it in the letterbox in front of their noses and keep walking. Both were grateful and positively responsive. That's a person of peace. And they are more common than we think. As Leslie Newbegin reminds us, God is already at work in the world. Our role is not to force doors open, but to recognise the ones he has already opened. What does this look like for us, for you, right here and right now? Well, here's a challenge. This week, perhaps notice one person of peace where you go. Pray for one person each day that you'd like to disciple. Have one intentional conversation with someone. If we take on a posture of get set, we'll be more likely to respond to the go. And Jesus, in all his authority, being with us always, day after day after day, will lead us and guide us. He prepares us with all that happens on our journey with him, our very own personal roller coaster. Then he calls us, he anchors us, and he sends us. So, on your marks, get set, go. The starting blocks are ready and waiting, whichever stage you're at today. I'll finish with this reflection. A few months ago, my church held a 24 hours of prayer, where people signed up to pray for an hour, with at least one person praying every hour of the 24. I spent my hour praying in the early hours of a Saturday morning, looking out over the part of the city I could see from my window. It was dark, and I was drawn to the lights shining all over the hillside opposite my house. Even in the darkest places, I noticed that light was not far away. God is already at work all over our city, and he is calling us, you and me, to join with him. Our task? To find the dark nearest to us and shine our light, the light of Jesus. And that's where we'll have the most impact. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, loving Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your words, the Great Commission. And Lord, we just ask that you would give us courage to step out, to find the people of peace that come across our path. Lord, just to have one conversation, but Lord, to follow your call. Lead us and guide us and give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.